We're again happy to have this number tonight. Study again from the Word of God. Appreciate the fact of those that are visiting with us. Certainly glad that you're here. I invite you to follow along on the charts that we have tonight that we'll look at. And the subject that we're going to deal with tonight. Tonight I want to talk with you for a few minutes just about traditions. Seems like everyone has traditions. Different nations have tradition, our nation. Generally, we eat turkey on Thanksgiving. Maybe we shoot fireworks off on the 4th of July. Families, they have traditions many times. Some families that I've been with in the past, they'll hold hands when they pray. Maybe they go to the mountains together on vacation during one of the times of vacation or holidays during the year. Looking back there, Danny Adams, he has a tradition of having a golf tournament every year on Derby Day that many folks have enjoyed and been involved with for years. So when we talk about tradition, we ask the question, traditions, are they good or bad? And the answer to that is, I give the answer to my wife sometimes, the answer is yes. They are good and they are bad. Defining tradition, from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, a giving over, either by word of mouth or in writing, then that which is given over, tradition, the teaching that is handed down from one to another. First thing we could look at is traditions that must be kept. Traditions handed down from the apostles. Those things that are divine in origin in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He'll use this term, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2. It says 1 Corinthians 11 verse 2. Now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions just as I delivered them to you. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 15, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in verse 15, we see the term used again. In verse 15, it says, so then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, either by word of mouth or by a letter from us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you received from us. Understand these things must be observed. Another time it's used, but the word tradition really isn't used in the passage, is Hebrews chapter 2 and in verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 through 4. You won't see the word tradition, but you'll see the idea carried out. In chapter 2 and verse 1 through 4 it says, now this reason we must pay closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also testifying with them both in signs and wonders and various miracles, and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. What are some apostolic traditions that we see that are carried out in the Bible? Well, different things. Jesus as the only head of the church. Scriptures as an expression of his authority. Terms of pardon. Independent, autonomous churches and congregations. Elders in every church. Male leadership in church government. Worship on the first day of the week. And sexual relations between a man and a woman who are married. The traditions of men, not necessarily bad, they may even be good. Families, they have traditions. And because of family's traditions, it might lead to good conduct among their children and maybe their grandchildren. Church traditions that keep things orderly. It must be generically approved by the scripture. Some of these, maybe the time of services, what time your services are going to be. Different local congregations have different times for their times of services. Sunday evening services. It might be that of Wednesday night that we gather together to maybe have a Bible class and a short time to worship God. It might be the order of our worship. The order of worship differs from local congregation to local congregation. And it might even be that of an invitation song. It's preaching out in Oldham County when they first started years ago. Buddy Holt. Still a member then at that time, that congregation, before he came here. And Bill Allison, who was a member there then, I guess he's probably still a member out there, maybe. Bill Allison came up and he told me, when you get through preaching, said, you just sit down. He said, we sang the invitation song before the sermon. What, too thrilled about that? But still, I said, all right, that's fine. You want to sing the invitation song before the sermon. But that's what they did out there at that time, maybe 35, 40 years ago, I guess. But a while ago. But they had that idea. There are two opposite dangers to tradition. One is a pro-traditional bias. That we're going to stand by this tradition no matter what. The other is the flip side of this, and that is an anti-traditional bias. First of all, the dangers of a pro-traditional bias. One might be keeping sinful traditions. That might be a danger. Colossians chapter 2 is going to deal with this. Colossians 2 and in verse 8. Colossians 2 and in verse 8. Colossians 2 and in verse 8 it says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy or empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world. Peter deals with this as well, talking about paganism in 1 Peter and in chapter 1. And in verses 18 and 19, 1 Peter chapter 1, in verses 18 and 19, he says in verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Talks about the fact there are dangers that come about from that of paganism. And it might even be just the point of family tradition that, you know, my family would drink at different times, and because they would drink at different times, I need to be involved in that tradition as well, because my family drinks, I'm going to drink as well. It might be that of making even innocent human traditions as authoritative in Scripture. In Mark, and in chapter 7, Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, Mark 7, in verses 1 through 8, says in Mark 7, beginning with verse 1, it says that the Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around when he had come from Jerusalem. And when he had seen some of his disciples were eating their bread with impure hands, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. And when it came, or when they came from the marketplace, they did not eat unless they cleansed themselves, and many others, which had received in order to observe, which was the washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. The Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hand?" Not the law of Moses. But why aren't they following the tradition of the elders? And he said, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'The people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the precepts of man, neglecting the commandment of God.' You hold to the tradition of men." In fact, he says in verse 9 through 13, it said, "You experts are setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother.' He who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. And if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever I have for you to help you is Corban, that is given to God,' you are no longer to permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you've handed down," and many things such as that. What's happening here? Well, one thing is, they were going to wash. Not because it was part of the law of Moses, but because of the fact that they didn't want to be contaminated by those Gentiles. And that's the reason why they make up these laws against it. Possibly a time to where some of these Gentiles have rubbed up against you. So therefore, we need to wash ourselves carefully. We need to wash our cups, our pots carefully. And then the other idea is that when it comes time for you to take care of mom or daddy, because they're unable to take care of themselves anymore, he says in verse 9 through 13, well, I'll tell you what, I've given to the temple service. What I've given is Corbin. Therefore, I'm not able to help my mama or daddy anymore because of the fact I gave my money to the temple. So somebody else is going to have to help them here at this time. In chapter 12 and in verses 1 through 8, again in Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, he says in chapter 12, it says, at that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples became hungry and began to pick heads of grain and eat. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, look, your disciples do what is not lawful for them to do on the Sabbath. And he said to them, have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions? How he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for him alone, but for the priest alone. Have you not read the law that on the Sabbath the priest in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say that I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But you have not known what this means. I desire compassion and not a sacrifice. You would have not condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath, to eat what was needed for their body. They felt like it was breaking a tradition. And then just the fact of keeping worthless and ineffective traditions. Well, let's move to the other side now, and the lesson will be yours tonight. There are dangers with the anti-traditional bias. It might be the fact that we want to eliminate some traditions. I know this has occurred out on the West Coast and sort of swept across and got real popular now in Tennessee and Florida and different places. But the fact is that a lot of people believe that certain things need to be done away with. I remember in one congregation I was preaching, and a fellow would always get up and he would say, the church here has the tradition of having the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. That might be true, but at the same time, it's true because it came from the apostles and from the apostles' doctrine that you partake of the Lord's Supper. Acts 20, verse 7, you partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. But a lot of times, it's people that try to eliminate inspired traditions. Or they might try to eliminate traditions of value. I see value in having a midweek study. I see value in having a Sunday night worship service as well. I've always enjoyed coming back with the people of God wherever I was and having to have another time to have a worship service with them. I always thought that was good. But now, people are wanting to get away from this. They're saying, well, you know, we can do more. we can do more if we just have maybe an extra few minutes for the Lord's Supper. We'll do that, then we'll skip the Sunday night service, and maybe we won't even have a Wednesday night service. And then people will say, well, I tell you what, we'll just get together and just have some Bible classes on Sunday night and maybe Wednesday night, because we're going to be non-traditional now. But at the same time, we understand these are many times these are things of value that we can look upon as members of the Lord's church. It might be that we become smug and even contemptuous of traditionalists, because now we hear people say we're going to be non-traditionalists. We're going to have the, I think somebody talked about having the Lord's Supper like they thought maybe Christ had it, reclining. They would have all these different tables set around. I guess they'd just take the pews out of a building. If you had a church building, they'd put tables in there. And I've seen places to where they may be set and have the Lord's Supper. I haven't seen this yet, but I've heard about it, to where now they got these places to where they recline. They got just chaise lounges everywhere, I guess, now, to where you recline and you take the Lord's Supper like Christ took the Lord's Supper. Non-traditionalists. The dangers of an anti-traditional bias. I listened to a young fellow one time talking about the new work they were starting. Yeah, they weren't going to have church on Sunday night anymore, because they were going to be non-traditionalists. We weren't going to have the church anymore on Sunday night. And I said, how long is it before that non-tradition becomes a tradition where you don't have the church on Sunday night? Oh no, we're going to be non-traditionalists. But we see where that leads. Last slide here in the lesson, yours. A proper treatment of tradition. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 21, he says, test all things. And then he says, hold fast to what is good. Test all things, hold fast to what is good. All things taught by Scripture are good, and they must be retained. So we understand, if Scripture requires it, it's a good work. Scripture requires it, it's a good work. Not only that, but everything must be tested by Scripture and rejected if it is a violation or addition. Something generically not approved by Scripture. Not only that, traditions must have value and are within the scriptural boundaries. These should be retained. But now people are trying to speed up services. Now an hour service is too long for some people. So now non-traditionalists, they might be trying to get the bread in everybody's hands really quick, to where you don't maybe have to pass it anymore. Maybe it's sitting in front of you. Everybody grab it real quick, eat that bread. We'll have a little quick prayer, drink that cup, and we can be through with the Lord's Supper maybe in 2 minutes. Well, is there is there a value to take time to partake of the Lord's Supper and to think about Christ's suffering for us? And lastly here tonight, no human tradition, regardless of value, should be demanded of others. When people do change some things sometimes, a lot of times people do make judgments rather quickly. I was talking to a fella and he was asking about a congregation in a different city. I said, I don't know anything about that congregation. He said, well, they're different, but I haven't found that they're doing anything wrong. And that's the important thing. That you're staying within the boundaries of the Word of God. That you're staying within the boundaries of what Christ would have you to do to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We'd encourage you that if you need to respond to the gospel tonight by being baptized or to come back to your first love, we invite you to come right now while together we stand as we sing.